Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order the zoning administrator's special meeting for today, June 10th, 2021. We just wanted to do a little bit of, my name's Lori Alonso, and I'll be the zoning administrator for today. Just a couple of housekeeping items. If there are any members of the public joining us online, we would want to take a pause and see if there's anyone online other than our county staff members who we already know are online. So Asher with OCIT, thank you again for your help today. Are there any other phone numbers that are registering online?
No, not as yet, just the same one phone number.
Okay, thanks. And then during the public hearing session of the meeting, we'll double check on that again. And then during that time, OCIT will be very helpful and instrumental in ensuring that people are able to speak. So for those people in the room, there are a limited number of staff reports available, and then those that would be online, we do have all of our staff reports available online during our website. All written materials must be received 24 hours in advance to ensure consideration by the zoning administrator. And then, except as otherwise provided by law, no action shall be taken on any items not appearing in the following agenda. If there are members of the public addressing the zoning administrator, we would just have items of interest that are not on the agenda, we'll do so in the public hearing comments later in the meeting. If there are members of the public that wish to be heard on an item, we would just ask that you please state your name and spell it for the record so that it will be accurately recorded. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to the minutes of May 2021. I have thoroughly reviewed those minutes and move to approve and approve those the minutes from May 20, 2021. We do have three items on the agenda today, so I will go ahead and move to the discussion items or public hearings. We have three public hearing items. I see we have item number one with Ms. Eileen Lenfield here to present for a public hearing, PA 19-0051, 8182 Lamonte Road. If you would, Ms. Eileen, if you would please present.
Good afternoon, Madam Zoning Administrator. My name is Eileen Lundfeldt. I'm an Associate Planner with the County of Orange. Today, I will present to you planning application PA 19-0051 for a use permit to allow for an overhead accessory structure in the rear and side yard setbacks. This use permit is to allow for a 1,024 square foot garage addition to an existing garage. The new structure will have a maximum height of 16 feet 11 inches and is located 6 feet from the rear property line and 4 feet from the side property line. The project is located at 8182 Lamonte Road in the Stanton community within the second supervisory district. The property is currently zoned A1 for general agricultural, which provides for agricultural, outdoor recreational uses and other low intensity uses. The site currently has a 2,495 square foot detached single family residence with a detached 600 square foot garage. The application is to propose a use permit for an overhead structure that is 1,024 square feet with a maximum height of 16 feet and 11 inches. The applicant also added a bathroom, so the owners can also have access to a bathroom while using the pool in the backyard. The proposed garage addition is currently built without the benefit of permits and has an open code enforcement case. This application has been submitted to allow for the existing structure to be permitted. Per the County of Orange Zoning Code, Section 7-9-0116.1 states the design guidelines for accessory structure uses and structures in all districts. Under this statute, a detached accessory structure can be 3 feet from the rear and side property line, as long and per section E, subsection E, as long as the height of the accessory structure is 12 feet, this structure may be 3 feet from the property line. However, the height limit may be increased to the maximum allowed in the section under 7-9-24.10 with the use permit approved by the zoning administrator. So under the accessory uses and structure section, this addition would be permitted by right if the structure was only 12 feet in height. The applicant is requesting the use permit to allow for an additional, for the additional 4 feet, 11 inches. So they would be able to afford additional storage space and the ability to have other hobbies. The owner has been a navigation maintenance engineer for over 23 years. On his free time, he likes to enjoy working on his cars and always wanted to have a workshop area where he can install a car lift. Unfortunately, a 12-foot high accessory structure would not allow him this benefit to actually install a car lift within his own property. In this zoning district, it is common to find larger detached accessory structures. Many of the properties in the area have larger detached accessory structures. Even the neighbor directly adjacent to it has a detached accessory structure basically is right next to this proposed structure. The adjacent property to the south has a very large setback distance to the primary residence, a separation of approximately 80 feet from the proposed structure. As a result of the physical characteristics of this property, it will not cause any significant aesthetic intrusions onto the neighbors to the south. Additionally, although the structure is proposed to be over height, there are no windows or in the area within the proposed structure that would be allow visibility into the neighbor's property, preserving the privacy of the adjacent properties. As of writing this staff report, we did receive one comment from the westerly adjacent neighbor. She had comments in regards to basically what type of application this is, I did talk to her. She thought that the application was to extend the existing two-story structure, and I let her know, no, this is actually to permit the existing structure, and she was okay with it as long as it wasn't going taller than what is currently existing out there. Staff has analyzed the proposed project and concluded that the size and scale of the proposed project is not detrimental to the surrounding land uses, and that has been planned in a manner that is the least intrusive to both the project site and to the surrounding community. Staff, therefore, supports the applicant's proposal and recommends approval of the planning application, PA 19-0051, subject to the findings and conditions and the conditions of approval as provided. And so, and I also do have plans provided. This is the site plan. And you can see the area that is the addition in the gray. So as you can see, it's basically all open area. There is a bathroom with a sink, toilet, shower, because they do have a permitted swimming pool. And these are the elevations. As you can see, the south elevation right here, there is a small little window, and that's for venting for the bathroom. So, and then these two windows here, which is up against the west, the east side of, would technically look into the west, to the neighbor to the west. However, they actually have a workshop, and there is a separating wall, which is a 6-foot wall. So basically, from this view, only about 6 inches of this window would actually look into an accessory structure.
Okay.
And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Linfield. I appreciate that. I just wanted to see if there are any members of the public online at all. Asher? Are there any additional phone numbers?
There's just the one phone number still, and there's some more people in the room. Anyways.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing on this item. We have verified with OCIT that there are no members of the public that wish to speak on this item.
Madam Zoning Administrator, this is Brian Kernow.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify, we do have a number of members who have joined on the attendee list. Only one is a Cullen user, but we do have a list of, it looks to be five other individuals.
Okay.
We have a Bill Hart, and Elizabeth Gallegos, Jessica Chang, Jessica Moon, and Scott Rosenbaum.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Kernow, for providing the additional IT support. So, Asher, if you wouldn't mind, could you please unmute all those additional numbers that Mr. Kernow has mentioned? Because I want to ensure that we have an open public forum for this item. Or advise if there's some technical difficulty that we need to take a pause. That would be fine, too.
This is Scott Rosenbaum. I'm waiting just for another item, so I'm not involved in this.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenbaum. First, hi, Scott.
Hello, this is Jessica Chang. I am also here for another item. I have no comments.
Thank you, Jessica. So it looks like there's a Mr. Bill Hart.
Sure. Yes, this is Bill Hart. I'm waiting on the 141 Emerald Bay matter.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hart.
Do you guys got my name on it as well, the on Tran?
And are you, Mr. Tran, are you wishing to speak on this item, the Stanton item?
Yes.
Okay. So if you would please reintroduce your name again and spell your first and last name for our secretary, Ms. Gilliam.
Yeah, so yeah, my first name is An, it's spelled like A-N. Last name is Tran, it's T-R-A-N.
All right, thank you. So you have about 3 minutes on the clock. We'd be very interested in hearing your comments.
So before saying that, can I ask some questions to verify what I hear is actually correct?
Absolutely.
Can someone answer that for me?
Sure, absolutely, Mr. Tran. So the floor is yours.
Yeah. So just to reconfirm what I got the correct information. The property A182 La Monte Row is currently have a rear building of 16 feet high, and currently it's unpermitted, and the owner would like to legalize that. Is that correct?
I believe that is my understanding. I will direct the answer to staff planner Eileen Linfield.
Hello, Mr. Tran. Yes, that is correct. The structure was built without permits, and we are currently going through the process of allowing for the permitting process.
Okay. All right. So if that's the case, then on my side, I would go ahead and approve that.
Well, thank you for your support of the project or your comments. Are there any other questions or clarifications needed at this time from you?
No.
And are you a neighbor of the property or in the near vicinity? Ms. Secretary,
yes,
do we need to state the address?
I locate, my property located on 8181 Traeger. So right on the back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That does lead me to a clarifying question for Ms. Linfield. So the application, the permits, I know you stated that it was an unpermitted structure, but was, from my understanding, wasn't it started to be permitted? And
they did start. They are currently in the process of obtaining. They're doing a concurrent processing with this application to get permits for the structure originally, they were going to try to do a 12-foot garage, but that didn't really lead to what the owner really wanted. Which
the proposed use. Yeah. Okay. And then also just as a matter of public record, my understanding of the permit process, if someone were to, in this case, if they started permits and built a structure that wasn't to the actual permits that were issued or in process, they would also be fined. Like some of their fees would be doubled, or they would just have some penalties on their fees for.
Yes, because this was unfortunately, it isn't under code enforcement.
Okay.
And because of that, because it is under code enforcement, I believe that the permits will be double feed.
Okay. Thank you for that. Mr. Tran, do you have anything else to add to your comments at this time?
No, that's all my comment. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I just wanted to clarify our permitting process for the record. So, there is a penalty, obviously, if you are trying to permit something without the proper permits or build something. So that is part of our normal permitting process. So thank you for your comments today. Are there any other speakers, Mr. Curnow and or Asher, that we have not addressed?
I don't believe so, not on the current agenda.
Alrighty, so with that and having no member of the public present in the room, I will go ahead and close the public hearing for this item. So, well, it's always nice to have a member of the public participate in these types of public hearings. That's exactly what this process is all about. It was also very nice of Mr. Tran to help with the approval process. So I do appreciate those types of comments and clarifications that were added. Thank you, Ms. Lundfield. For me, for clarification, really the only thing here was really the extra height, because the setbacks as it stands and everything else would have been normally permitted with our straight up with our regular zoning code. And then the last thing I just wanted to mention for the record was there is a maximum site coverage, which this does seem to meet at 24%, which the maximum is 25, correct? Yes.
That is correct. To be within the setback area, there is a for enclosed structures within a setback area, the maximum coverage is 25%, and this is right at 24.
Okay. So there'd be no additional additions to these types of this structure anyways, or any more additional accessory structures in this for this property?
At least not in the setback area.
At least not in the setback area. Okay, thank you so much. Alrighty, with all of those questions answered, and again, thank you. I saw that you had put that in the staff report. I just wanted for clarification purposes before I would move the item for approval. So I thank you again, and so I will approve as per the recommended actions, eloquently stated in the staff report and by staff earlier today. And thank you, Ms. Lundfield, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
And we're setting up for the next.
All righty, we're taking a short pause for the setup for the next item. I see Mr. Kevin Canning. We will go ahead and introduce item number 2, which is in public hearing, PA 19-0049, which is a request for a coastal development permit, use permit, and variance for a home in Emerald Bay. And we have Mr. Kevin Canning here to present when you're ready.
Thank you. The application, as you mentioned, in the Emerald Bay community at 141 Emerald Bay, for a coastal development permit, use permit, and a variance. The coastal development permit is required for the removal of the existing residence and the construction of a new three-level residence with attached garage spaces. The use permit is to permit overhead walls within the project area, and the variance is to allow a proposed front yard setback of 5 feet where the county zoning code would have otherwise required 20 feet. Please note, I'm going to suggest and ask for modifications to the action. Subsequent to the preparation of the staff report, project architect noted that where I noted that there was an overhead wall within the rear yard setback supporting the lanai of the new structure, was an overhight wall. I made that determination based upon a perspective of one of the site elevations. We discussed it in detail, and I have since also reviewed the grading plans. And that wall in that area supporting the lanai would not be over height for the proposed use. So the use permit will be only for an overhead wall in the front yard, and I'll describe that in just a moment. The Emerald Bay LCP describes various criteria that all projects in that community must be reviewed and approved with respect to the Coastal Act provisions. Staff has reviewed and compared the proposed project to those criteria and found the proposed project conforming with all the criteria of the Emerald Bay LCP. The variance is to allow a basically a carport that would be located within the front yard setback. The county setback would be 20 feet. The carport would be within 5 feet of the property line. The Emerald Bay Community Association that has also reviewed and approved this project, their architectural guidelines allow 5 feet routinely front, side, and rear throughout the community. However, county zoning is different and has just the straight R1. A 5 foot, the approval of a 5 foot setback within the Emerald Bay community is fairly common. And only when it generally would obstruct the line of sights of vehicles is there a conflict that doesn't permit that sort of thing. So staff recommends that the recommends the approval of the 5 foot front yard setback, given the location of the property on the end of a cul-de-sac, where the cul-de-sac bowl widens out and cuts into the frontage of the site. And also within a coastal community with unique architectural requirements. Regarding the use permit is to permit a proposed 4 foot wall within the front yard setback, again, mostly adjacent to this proposed carport. The overall project, well, I suppose I've got plans I can show. The overall project, you can see the curb driveway going at the bottom of the plan down into two different garage spaces that'll be below grade. And then the carport we've talked about is above that and at street level. So the wall, this front, this 4 foot wall within front yard setback is a 4 foot wall that is essentially there as a safety precaution because that driveway and area slopes down below the area. That 4 foot wall within the front yard setback would not obstruct a line of sight of vehicles in the area, and it is consistent with the other walls that have been approved within the community. Those two findings are required in order to approve an over height wall. As I mentioned within the staff report on page 6, I will be amending it to delete discussion of an over height wall within the rear yard setback. Since the public notice was sent out for this property, just in the last couple of days, I have received an inquiry from a Mr. Bob Cole, who said that he wasn't able to access the information online. I gave him a new link, just to be sure he had the right link, but I also emailed him the project staff report. And at least up to the time of this hearing, I have not heard back from Mr. Cole. Received an email of from Mr. Craig Johnson expressing concern about the approval of the variance and also that the proposed project would obstruct his view from 136 Emerald Bay. I replied to him, first of all, that I couldn't open the photos he sent. He has since sent new photos in a format that I was able to open, and there are two photographs of the view, basically west from his property. But in that first email, I also told him that the project had been approved by Emerald Bay Community Association, and that the variance in our application was not a variance from the Emerald Bay community guidelines. It was a variance from the county zoning standard, and that the EBCA and the county standards are much different in this area, 20 feet versus 5 feet. So the variance from the county standard was required in order to meet the Emerald Bay Community Association standards. And I noted to him that many or even most Emerald Bay projects require that type of variance. Again, I have not heard back specifically from Mr. Johnson other than when he sent new photographs that I forwarded to the zoning administrator this morning. Finally, I would point out that received an email from Scott Rosenbaum, who's the project architect, a few days ago, that they have read the staff report and they have accepted the proposed conditions of approval. That concludes my staff report, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Canning. I do appreciate the thorough report. I will, before I have any additional questions, I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing, as we do have some people, members of the public, that are online. So members of the public that wish to speak on this item.
Scott first.
Scott, we have Mr. Rosenblum. Scott, if you'd like.
Yes, I'm here. I'm happy to. Kevin did a great report, so I don't have anything to add at this point, but I'm happy to respond to any questions.
So just for the record, we will be, it sounds like what the proposal will be, we'll be removing the overhead wall rear setback sections in the staff report, and also that from the description, so there will not be a request.
I apologize.
And you're okay with that? Just want to make sure, confirm that you.
Yes, because we're not over height.
Okay.
That was a miscommunication between me and Kevin.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You don't necessarily need to go into to elaborate on that more. I just want to be clear that if we remove that from this application, that it will not be.
We're happy with the staff report.
Okay,
yeah, and we're
okay.
And
awesome.
Everything's good.
Perfect. I just wanted to get that clarification. And yes, I have received your additional email that you had sent to, provided to Planner Kevin Canning, so that you've accepted and you've read the staff report. Obviously, we've read the staff report now again together, and that you've accepted the conditions of approval. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for your comments today. So it looks like we also have Jessica.
That's the other project.
Is that on the other project?
Staff report.
Yeah. So that would be for the next item. Is there any other members of the public that wish to speak on this item, item number two?
Yes, Bill Hart.
Hello, Mr. Hart. So if you wouldn't mind just spelling your name for the record so we get that accurately depicted in the minutes.
H-A-R-T.
And do you go by Bill or B-I-L-L? Is that fine?
Bill.
Okay. And what is the proximity, your address, in relation to this project?
I'm at 138 Emerald Bay.
Okay.
Across the street.
Okay.
Across from the cul-de-sac.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. All righty, well, the floor is yours. You have about 3 minutes to please address, provide us with your comments about this project.
Sure. Owned a home in Emerald Bay for about 25 years. Very familiar with Dr. Tuma's property and his proposal. Some time ago, perhaps 2 years ago, we met and discussed the size of his project and its size relative to the lot. As the folks looking at this on the zoning side no doubt observe, it's a gigantic house on a very large lot, at least for Emerald Bay standards, and is in my view, seeking to go beyond maximizing the lot. The structure is some 8,700 square feet, The lot is, I don't know, pushing a half an acre or some number like that. And it strikes me as being over the top that the 20-foot setback cannot be observed and do a favor to all of the neighbors of this particular cul-de-sac and set the carport back 20 feet as opposed to 5 feet. As you all can see, there is more than enough room on this lot to put an 8,700 square foot house in a configuration that will make it very comfortable with plenty of yard and pool and all the other improvements that are proposed. It just strikes me that this is an unnecessary encroachment into the both view and aesthetics of the lot in terms of either looking at the lot, looking at the house, driving through the cul-de-sac, et cetera. And it just struck me that I didn't see any compelling reason why this very massive house could not accommodate a carport 20 feet back from the curb. It's just inconceivable to me, other than the architect and others just want to simply maximize the lot even beyond the 20-foot setback. And I see no compelling reason to do so. I haven't heard it yet, but you know, maybe I'm not privy to all the conversations. I just observe the pictures and I observe the plan and I observe the size of lot and house, and it just seems like there's more than enough room to put this carport where within the setback and not otherwise impose on the neighborhood. Those are my thoughts.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Hart, for those comments. I am going to redirect back to our planner, Mr. Kevin Canning, but I do have a couple of clarifying questions or comments to add to your comments as well. So, Mr. Canning, in regards to the 20-foot setback, it is, when I look at the plans, it's my understanding, could you clarify, is it just the carport area that is projecting into that? The rest of the house meets the 20-foot setback?
Correct.
Okay, and then the carport is additional parking. Is that the additional parking required by Emerald Bay?
Or? By Emerald Bay, yes. Okay. The main structure is 54 feet from the front property line.
54 feet. Okay. Thank you for that.
I'm happy to chime in here, but I don't want to, you know, step on anyone's.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenbaum. If we have additional questions for you all, I will direct those questions to you. And if you'd like a chance to speak again, we can accommodate that, of course. So back to Mr. Hart's. Mr. Hart, is it the square footage of the home that you are having concerns with, or is it just actually just the 20-foot setback variance request for the projection into the 20-foot setback just for the carport? Because I just received clarification that the plans show that the rest of the entirety of the house is actually meeting the required 20 feet setback, which I have to say is actually unusual in Emerald Bay. But
my observation, I'm pointing out the size of the lot and the house simply to make the point, these have already been approved. I totally understand that the square footage of the house has been approved by the Architectural Committee of Emerald Bay.
Okay.
And so that doesn't change the fact that it's still a massive house on a massive lot. My concern is the encroachment into the completely, in my observation, completely unnecessary encroachment to 5 feet from 20 feet. For a carport. It's just, I understand the owner wants it. I get that, but there's no reason for it. There's plenty of room to accommodate a carport within the 20-foot setback. It's just a subjective choice that whoever's making this decision says, well, let's put it out here. Let's put it 5 feet from the curb. That's not a, in my judgment, that's not a compelling reason to seek a variance. There should be some sort of compelling reason to seek a variance, like there's no other way to do it. And I don't hear that in this particular case, particularly with a house and lot of this size.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hart, for that. Mr. Canning, is there anything you would like to add? Or I can direct it to the architect as well.
Well, I just, if you there, just to clarify, the lot is 13,694 square feet. So it's not half an acre. Just not that that makes any difference. Staff felt that the carport within the front 20 feet was not unreasonable and was consistent with many, many, many other projects within the Emerald Bay community. It did not. We didn't think it was an unreasonable request, given the precedents in the area.
Okay, thank you. I will allow Mr. Scott Rosenbaugh, if he wishes to, kind of speak to the item. If you could minimize your comments to less than a minute, that would be appreciated.
No problem. The carport, our parking does come within that that range that Mr. Hart was talking about, and we do have a site wall that comes in, but the actual covered area is actually more than 20 feet away, I only have a very small scale set of plans in front of me, we're in compliance with that 20 foot setback as far as our built structure.
Scott, can I ask you a question? On the screen, if you're able to see, can you see my pointer, the little hand?
I can see. What you're seeing in the gray is below grade.
Okay, this area right here.
Right where your cursor is, that's all. The gray area is below grade.
That is the corner where the cursor is. That is the corner of the carport that goes within 5 feet of the property line.
Above grade?
Okay. That's the overhang?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You're correct then.
And so yes, this correct. Area does exceed 20 feet from the front property line.
Yeah. But at that closest corner, then yes, you're correct.
So now that you guys provide that additional clarification, I just want to make sure. So is it just that corner piece?
Yeah.
It's really just that the corner piece is what we're talking about, because
yes.
I'm looking at, if you were to take the cursor to your left a little more, that is about approximately how many feet from here? Yeah, from the property line there. Give or take 10, maybe?
Oh, closer to 15 to 18.
Okay. So... So realistically, it looks like it's just the right portion of there, which is where the cul-de-sac bulb turns. So is that,
yes.
Am I understanding that correctly? Okay.
That's correct.
All right. So thank you, Scott. Is there anything else? And then, and I know we've exceeded
the only other thing I would add to that is there is no view angle across any property around us where that corner makes any difference. That is entirely within the envelope of the main house, which totally conforms to every requirement of both the county and the HOA.
Okay. Well, just for clarification purposes, the County of Orange does not have any regulations regarding views. The only thing I would say that we would be concerned about is that carport and the setback, obviously, and as well as the wall height have all been reviewed by traffic, and which is part of our normal planning application review process. So I know that that has been the case. And then as we go through to move forward, if this were to be approved, the grading and building permits would also have that line of sight and safety review during grading and building permits. So I just kind of wanted to mention that as well. All righty. Well, I thank everyone for your comments. I think we've exceeded the time allotted for each speaker today, but it's when we do have concerns raised, I have no problem extending that time frame. So unless there's any other public speakers on the line for this item, which I don't believe there are, Ashton or Asher, can you just concur with that? Because the other two.
Yes, I don't believe there's any. Okay. If there's any more, just Bill Hart and Scott.
Can I make just a quick little comment? First, sure. Only to the carport corner. This isn't the corner. It's, if you look at that, it's a 5-foot setback to the corner. Obviously, it encroaches 15 feet more going back over the carport cover. And the second is, I apologize for my half acre response. It's really a third of an acre. So those are the two clarifications. But my comments stand and I think are unaltered. I mean, I think it's therefore completely unnecessary as drawn. But those are my comments, and thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you as well, Mr. Hart. Okay, so seeing and hearing no other members of the public on this item, I will go ahead and close the public hearing. So, Mr. Canning, thank you for the additional clarification and everything on there. I just want to validate that the comments that I have made about the review process and review by traffic and line of sight and safety.
Correct.
Are correct. Okay, perfect. I know I haven't been a planner in a couple of days, so I just want to make sure that my planning and permitting understanding is right, still intact. The other thing I just also wanted to just clarify, so if we were to move forward on this project, the use permit for the rear wall would be removed.
Correct.
And a final staff report would be published with that. And then the other thing, we have seen several types of this type of application before us with the 5-foot instead of the 20. I believe our zoning code just hasn't been updated to kind of match the Emerald Bay requirements. I want to believe it's more along the lines of, because it's a coastal area and that would open our whole LCP. So for me to be able to move forward on this type of project, I just want to verify that, you know, we aren't providing any special circumstances. This isn't, I know there was some comments in the public hearing that this was unusual and maybe out of line with the neighborhood, but I visited that neighborhood. I've been involved in a lot of the approval process in that neighborhood, and I don't see that anything is out of line with what the consistency in the neighborhood. And since it has been approved with the Emerald Bay Association and it meets all their criteria, I just think for our process, we have to go through this variance process, but it is consistent with the neighborhood. So
correct.
Okay. Well, thank you for that confirmation, and also So with that said, I am going to, and it's just, we just don't have any ability to regulate views or anything like that. And it's my understanding that through the process also that Emerald Bay does require that we put up the story poles. They put up the story poles to see where the heights of these structures are going to be throughout that whole Emerald Bay process. So by the time it gets to us, we're hoping that that public outreach and everything has been there, has gone through that process. If this was something that, you know, wasn't consistent with the neighborhood, I wouldn't be able to support the recommended actions from staff today. But seeing that it is and it has been presented as such, and the safety, there's no safety concerns, and it's more of a variance of, you know, a request for similarity in the county with other projects, as well as there's no special circumstances, we're able to make those findings as presented in the staff report. So with careful consideration, I just will be able to move ahead and approve this project as per the recommended actions in the staff, as is presented in the staff report today and by staff. So I do appreciate everyone's comments, and, you know, thank you for your time and energy on this project. But with that, we're going to go ahead and approve this project and move on to item number 2. So, Mr. Canning, I believe that you also have item number two for us today, another public hearing in Emerald Bay, request for a coastal development permit and use permit and variance with a property at 141. No, I lied. I'm sorry. A property at 117 Emerald Bay. And it is item number three. I guess I'm still stuck on item number two. I apologize for that. So for the record, we're on item number three, public hearing for PA 20-0015. Mr. Canning.
As many other and recent Emerald Bay projects, it's a request to demolish an existing residence and construct a new one. In the new request, discretionary approvals are required for a coastal development permit, a use permit, and a variance. As I mentioned before, the CDP is required both for the demolition and construction of a new residence and associated grading. The variance in this application is to permit a reduced rear yard setback of 5 feet, where the zoning would otherwise require 17 feet under the shallow lot criteria of the zoning code. And the use permit is to allow an overhead retaining walls in portions of the front, side, and rear setback areas. Subject site is at 1117 Emerald Bay. It backs up to Coast Highway. It backs up and is lower than Coast Highway.
Hmm.
As many other projects within the Emerald Bay community that back up to that, excuse me.
It's okay. I understand you're probably still pausing on item number two as well.
No, I was trying to find the number. There are, at least within this reach of the Emerald Bay community, there are 35 properties that similarly back up to Pacific Coast Highway or North Coast Highway, as it's called, within this reach. And of those 36 lots, only three have a what we would call a zoning code compliant setbacks. Almost all of them are developed at 5 feet or only a little bit above it. The coastal development permits, the criteria, as I mentioned for the last project, varies criteria with respect to resource management, watershed, environmental hazards, geologic and fire hazards. The proposed project met all the criteria within the LCP. Also, as required by the LCP, the project was reviewed and approved by the Emerald Bay Community Association in July of 2020. I'm going to jump over to the use permit. Because of the grading of the lot and backing up to, and topography lot backing up to the highway, they are proposing overheight retaining walls basically within this corner of the project and then right up here at the front. Those are in the rear. It is to lower the project pad both to increase buildable area and also this overheight wall in that area about 10 feet. Also provide some noise dampening from Coast Highway. You can see in the rear they've minimized private open space within the lot, as do many of these other lots, because the private open space and open area, the noise mitigation is difficult to achieve. There is a sound retaining a sound barrier wall just off of their property within the Coast Highway right of way. But the solution for backing up to that busy thoroughfare is to move the house closer to that rear yard setback, and the structure can be more easily soundproofed for living area, and then minimizing open space within the rear of the lot and utilizing other areas of the lot for open space. So in this area, they're meeting they're proposing a 5 foot rear yard setback, which meets Emerald Bay requirements, but it is an encroachment of the county requirement of 17 feet based upon the shallow lot criteria. within the front yard of the front yard setback for this project would be just over 7 feet based upon average adjoining setbacks. They are proposing a setback of 8 feet, so they're a little bit back from it. The retaining walls within the right up at the front corner are necessary just to match grade on the adjacent lots. I believe that the findings for the variance approval, the special circumstances applicable to the lot or its location adjacent to a major highway, its reduced size and its location within the coastal community. It's not special privileges, the staff recommendation, because similar types of approvals have been granted throughout the Emerald Bay community. Use permit, the override walls, the criteria that need to be made for those approvals is the height and location will not result in a traffic hazard. They will not. They're either at the rear of the lot or even within the front of the lot. Adequate line of sight for vehicles can be made and will be required as part of the improvement plans that it be demonstrated. And then the second finding for an overhight wall is that the location, size, design, and other characteristics are consistent with the community, and that is the case. So staff recommends approval subject to the findings and conditions that are attached to the staff report. And I'm available to answer any other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Canning. I will go ahead and open the public hearing on this item. If any members of the public that wish to speak, I believe we have two online. If you could state your name and spell it for the record.
It would be Jessica Chang.
It should be Miss Jessica, I believe.
Yeah, my name is Jessica Chang. I am one of the architects on this project. I have read the staff report and conditions of approval, and I accept the staff recommendation. My colleague Jessica Moon and I are happy to answer any questions you or the public may have.
Thank you, Ms. Chang. Asher or Mr. Curnow, are there any other speakers on this item?
There are four people in the attendance list, and everyone's been unmuted.
New to the system?
Are the four people including the three staff members? And then plus Jessica, which is one? That would be four?
This is Brian Kenner. There's four attendees that do not include staff members. We have an Elizabeth Gallegos, Jessica Ting, Jessica Moon, and Takashi.
Takashi and Jessica Moon are both my colleagues.
Okay. So then we have one other. Who was the last person? The additional person, Brian.
Diego.
Elizabeth Gallegos.
Hello, Mr. Diego or Miss Diego. Would you like to speak on this item? Alrighty. Hearing no response, we're going to go ahead and And no other members of the public in the hearing room today. We're going to go ahead and close the public hearing. So hindsight always being 2020, I wish we had this item be item number 2 and the other item be number 3. So this is a perfect example of how there is no special privilege for these 5-foot requests for setbacks or variances and use permits in Emerald Bay. In fact, those are pretty much the only items that come to the zoning administrator because of the difference in the setback for the zoning code R1 in the county and then also with the criteria for Emerald Bay. We just haven't synced for whatever reason that up. And I do believe it's a lot due to, you know, having to open up a coastal program or LCP, and it would just, we may not get the benefit better than the gain that we would by doing that. So this is another example of where the setback needs to be reduced in order to meet the criteria. that's consistent with Emerald Bay as well as the county standards. In this case, for clarification and just confirmation, I guess, Mr. Canning, the whole setback in the rear is adjacent to PCH.
Correct.
So there is no adjacent neighbor that is being impacted by this. This is fully for the purpose of this development. I mean, so, and that's probably why we have no additional comments from any adjacent neighbors. The additional item I also wish I had had mentioned also in the previous hearing was the county doesn't have a maximum site coverage requirement in the R1 zoning. And so again, hindsight being 2020, if I had, a crystal ball, I would have probably had this item being heard before the other item, just to kind of set the understanding for those members of the public that may not be as familiar with the regulations here in Orange County. So with that said, I don't need to drag this one out. It's pretty straightforward. I do appreciate, all the information in the report that was presented by you, Mr. Canning. On this item, I will go ahead and move this item for approval as stated in the recommended actions in the staff report as well as presented here today. So that concludes all of our discussion items and public hearing items for this meeting. I am going to just ask again, there is one more person online, it sounds like, so if there are any public comments, those could be heard at this time for any off-agenda items. So I'm not, the name that was out there was Diego, I believe. So if there's a Ms. or Mr. Diego that wishes to speak on any off-agenda items.
I think it was Gallego.
Or Gallego, I'm so sorry. I'm going by what I see on the screen. So hearing none, we will basically move to adjourn this meeting to the next regularly scheduled zoning administrator meeting. So thanks, everyone, for your time. Be safe, and we appreciate all the comments and the participation that we've had here today. Have a wonderful afternoon. Meeting is adjourned.